This is LBC with Andrew Castle. Call 0345 6060973.
It's Friday, 4:47. It's time for Simon Marks's American Week.
Well, Andrew, there are some American weeks when those of us who have lived here for a very long time can scarcely believe that this is the same America that we first encountered. At every turn this week, developments here have been so confounding, they've underscored that this is a country still struggling to find its traditional moorings and definitely not currently on track to win what President Biden says is the competition with China for primacy in the 21st century. Let's start with COVID-19 and the astonishing announcement yesterday from the Centers for Disease Control.
Anyone who is fully vaccinated can participate in indoor and outdoor activities, large or small, without wearing a mask or physical distancing. If you are fully vaccinated, you can start doing the things that you had stopped doing because of the pandemic. We have all longed for this moment, when we can get back to some sense of normalcy.
That is Dr. Rochelle Walensky, President Biden's hand-picked CDC director. Regular listeners will remember that just 6 weeks ago, her voice shaking with emotion, she was warning of catastrophe in America's battle with the pandemic.
I'm going to pause here, I'm going to lose the script, and I'm going to reflect on the recurring feeling I have of impending doom. We have so much to look forward to, so much promise and potential of where we are, and so much reason for hope. But right now, I'm scared.
Now, back there on March the 29th, when she confessed to being scared, 685 people died of COVID-19 in the United States. Yesterday, when she was caving to political pressure and telling Americans who are fully vaccinated to rip off their face masks, 740 people died. This country has lost more than 4,300 people to COVID-19 in the last week alone. It is still causing more deaths every 5 or 6 days in America than were lost in the Al-Qaeda attacks of September the 11th, 2001. Yes, the death rate is falling, but no, the country is nowhere near done with this pandemic. But like George W. Bush taking a premature mission accomplished victory lap after the ouster of Saddam Hussein, President Biden in the Rose Garden yesterday did something very similar.
I think it's a great milestone, a great day. It's been made possible by the extraordinary success we've had in vaccinating so many Americans so quickly. As other nations, even wealthy nations, are mired in the challenges of slow vaccine rollout and poor economic conditions, as a result, things are very different here. You know, some people said we couldn't do this, that it would not be until the fall that we had this many people vaccinated. That 2021 might be a lost year for our country, as 2020 was. But we proved the doubters wrong. I need to single out one more group to praise: the American people. You did what I consider to be your patriotic duty. I can say I'm pleased but not surprised, because the simple truth is this: the American people have never, ever, ever, ever let their country down.
Now, hang on just a minute. Only one American in every three is fully vaccinated, and not even one American in two has yet had a first dose of the vaccine. The new guidance on face masks leaves members of the public and businesses all over the country in a new bind. How do you know when you walk into a shop, sit down at a restaurant, or go into your office exactly who has been fully vaccinated and who hasn't? After all, vaccine skepticism is so deep-rooted here that at points this week the authorities seemed absolutely desperate to get more people jabbed. First, we heard on Monday from the mayor of New York City, Bill de Blasio, sounding like a game show host in his quest to get people there to take the shot.
From this point on, there'll be many, many opportunities to get great, great prizes when you get vaccinated, and we want people to know. It's time.
But if free tickets to the Bronx Zoo or the Lincoln Center aren't your thing, then maybe you should head to Ohio, because there, every week for the next five, you can become a millionaire. But as Governor Mike DeWine told residents of his state this week, you've got to be in it to win it.
On May 26th, we will announce a winner of a separate drawing for adults, adults who have received at least their first dose of the vaccine. This announcement will occur each Wednesday for 5 weeks, and the winner each Wednesday will receive $1 million.
Now, in the Marks household, we haven't yet won the million, but my 17-year-old did get a free donut from a local outlet celebrating fully vaccinated Americans like himself. And I'm told that free French fries are on the menu at the burger joint just around the corner. Good job it's lunchtime. Seriously, does that really sound to you like a country that is selflessly and enthusiastically doing its patriotic duty, or one in which millions of Americans refusing to get vaccinated are now being coaxed by a chance at a cool million, or more likely a free sugar rush? And let's all pretend to ignore the very clear data showing a link between COVID-19 deaths and obesity. Democrat-run Michigan became the first state openly to break with the White House on the face mask issue last night, telling people in the state they won't be implementing the CDC's new guidelines. And the White House celebrations last night were also somewhat marred by other developments here yesterday.
Our health lead today can double as a sports lead for you. It ain't over till it's over. Just ask the New York Yankees. Multiple people associated with the team have tested positive for coronavirus despite being fully vaccinated.
CNN's Jake Tapper there breaking the news that 8 members of America's best-known baseball team have gone down with COVID-19 even after being fully vaccinated with the Johnson & Johnson jab. Pitcher Gerrit Cole wearing a face mask last night as he was interviewed on the Yankees' own TV broadcast sounded much more cautious than the President of the United States.
I don't think this is going to be over for a few years. I think we're going to have to be dealing with this kind of thing for a while. And every time these things come up, we're going to have to, you know, adapt and learn, you know, just as a species.
Also last night, the country learned that TV talk show host and comedian Bill Maher has tested positive for COVID-19, again, despite being fully vaccinated. He'll miss his show this week for the first time since 1993. All of this underscores the concern expressed by numerous epidemiologists that the CDC is moving too rapidly. Dr. Liana Wen used to be the health commissioner in Baltimore. She's now a visiting professor at George Washington University. She told CNN last night that if the White House thinks the move on face masks will incentivize people to go and get vaccinated, that is going to backfire.
What I really worry about is essentially the CDC today eliminated mask mandates and social distancing. They're saying it's all an honor code from now on. And so it's actually going to be a disincentive. There are a lot of people who never wanted to get vaccinated, never wanted to wear masks. Now they can just say, oh, I'm vaccinated, or I don't even have to show anybody proof of vaccination. And so I really worry about those people who cannot yet be vaccinated, like our children, the individuals who are immunocompromised and are not fully protected by the vaccine. We're now putting them at risk.
She spoke there about honor codes. In other developments in America this week, there was no sign of them on display. This was the week when, as we predicted last Friday, former President Donald Trump got his revenge on Congresswoman Liz Cheney. In a voice vote, Republicans on Capitol Hill didn't even have the guts to go on the record. They did her in, stripping the daughter of former Vice President Dick Cheney of her leadership position in the party because she committed the cardinal sin of refusing to lie. She voted to impeach Donald Trump for the January 6th insurrection on Capitol Hill, and she refused to go along with his continuing lies about last year's presidential election. Before the vote, on the floor of the House of Representatives, she darkly warned that even now, Donald Trump imperils American democracy.
Today, we face a threat America has never seen before. A former president who provoked a violent attack on this Capitol in an effort to steal the election, has resumed his aggressive effort to convince Americans that the election was stolen from him. He risks inciting further violence. Every one of us who has sworn the oath must act to prevent the unraveling of our democracy. Remaining silent and ignoring the lie emboldens the liar.
But she knows there's more than one liar within Republican ranks. Her ouster was orchestrated by Kevin McCarthy, the party's leader in the House of Representatives, who remains utterly loyal to the former president. So loyal that in the White House driveway this week, after his first Oval Office meeting with President Biden, he pretended not to know that his boss down in Mar-a-Lago is still calling Joe Biden illegitimate in office.
I don't think anybody is questioning the legitimacy of the president. Presidential election. I think that is all over with. We're sitting here with the president today. So from that point of view, I don't think that's a problem.
Utterly amazing. Donald Trump has spent the entire week claiming the election was stolen from him and that by some miracle the result is about to be overturned. But all of that was nothing compared to the big lie told this week by Republican Congressman Andrew Clyde of Georgia. At a hearing about the deadly January the 6th insurrection on Capitol Hill that Donald Trump incited, he offered this revisionism about the events of that fateful day.
There was no insurrection, and to call it an insurrection, in my opinion, is a bold-faced lie. Watching the TV footage of those who entered the Capitol and walked through Statuary Hall showed people in an orderly fashion staying between the stanchions and ropes, taking videos and pictures. You know, if you didn't know the TV footage was a video from January the 6th, you would actually think it was a normal tourist visit.
Sure, they probably came here to see the cathedrals. In two separate areas this week, we witnessed the limits of American power. As the US has watched a devastating week unfold in the Middle East, the country that would normally consider itself indispensable in resolving conflict there has found itself on the sidelines. President Biden isn't trusted by Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and doesn't talk to Hamas because the US deems it a terrorist organization. So the president told reporters this week that basically it's up to other governments to try and defuse the crisis.
My national security staff and defense staff has been in constant contact with their counterparts in the Middle East, not just with the Israelis, but also with everyone from the Egyptians to the Saudis to the Emiratis, etc. My expectation and hope is that this will be closing down sooner than later.
That was on Wednesday and does not appear to have been especially prescient. The other big story of the week here, the fuel crisis that left petrol stations up and down the East Coast scrambling for supplies after the private company, who knew, that owns the Colonial Pipeline, fell victim to a ransomware attack. We now know the company paid nearly $6 million in ransom to the Russian hackers who targeted their computer systems, and the company never alerted the FBI or the US government about the initial breach. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki was in damage limitation mode as angry motorists besieged garages.
A big lesson from this is the need for all companies to harden their cybersecurity apparatus and to ensure that they are protecting themselves. Even as we are working as a government to plan for contingencies and ensure that across the federal government, we have all the necessary protections in place.
That'll be the same federal government that last year didn't notice when Russian hackers spent nearly 9 months eavesdropping on a wide array of government ministries. Little wonder the pipeline operators never bothered to call in the feds. One can only marvel at the drift that continues here. A country pretending the pandemic is over while thousands of Americans still die every week. A country whose opposition party eats its own if they dare to speak the truth. A country with none of the leverage it used to have in regions like the Middle East. And a country that this week declared itself open for business, especially if you are a ransomware hacker. At the White House, they say President Biden is taking 2021 back. But we're not even halfway through the year. And Andrew, that claim is already very open to question.
Absolutely brilliant. Thank you very much. That was Simon Marks, American Week. It's 1 minute past five. This is Andrew Castle in for Eddie Mayer. This is LBC.